With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office, traffic, parking, etc. It's going to be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages, so do what I do, my friends, and use Stamps.com instead. That's right, I'm Jay Moore, and I use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you avoid the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season, and everything you would do at the post office, you could do right from your desk, like a boss, buy and print official U.S. postage using your computer, your printer. Print postage for any letter or package the instant that you need it. Then the mailman just picks it up. Easy, convenient. I use Stamps.com, and you should too. Right now, do me a favor. Get this special offer when you use my last name, Moore, M-O-H-R, no risk trial. Plus $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. That's a lot of letters. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my last name, M-O-H-R, for a $110 bonus offer and a free digital scale. Stamps.com, enter more.
To the insurance company that did me wrong. I've moved on and I'm happily insured with another. Bless your pea-picking heart. It was just never meant to be betwixt us. You gave me automobile insurance apprehension. And GEICO has come along and in just 15 minutes given me new car insurance and made me as jubilant as a newborn lamb in springtime. And Paul has given GEICO his approval. That's one thing you never had. Joyful with another. Clara May in Columbia.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, potheads.
How the fuck you gonna know how to be great if you don't study greatness? Look at the game tape.
Donuts.
If you wanna battle, it's either that you will or you won't.
You know, you're not a bad looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
Hey, man.
More Stories Podcast, number 5,620, I don't know, we're in the 200s, and live from Fake Mustache Studios, we have our own YouTube channel, you can check that out. Joe Buck is my guest. Joe Buck, the voice of Fox Football, yes. Fox Baseball, Fox Curling,
yes.
Fox Women's Volleyball.
Yes.
Joe Buck.
Yes.
First of all, I'm glad you're aboard. I've given you a lot of shit through the years, but okay. Now you and I have become fast friends, so I'm glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
You seem thrilled. Pick it up a notch, Joe. You sound
I'm glad to be here.
There you go.
Let me tell you.
Come
the old
on,
cotton
Joe.
Pickle. I'm so excited to be here. I barely sit on this purple chair.
Yeah, Joe Buck is sitting in a purple chair because that's what we give the really, really, really good guests.
Who do I follow and who do I proceed on this podcast journey through your life?
The entire
Pinelli?
My Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction, Steve Perry's Jones of the guy. Sex Pistols, Duff McKagan, multiple. You don't know the Sex Pistols?
No, I do. I don't.
Guitars.
Personally, I know. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I know Perry. I was on a flight with Perry Farrell and his wife from LA to St. Louis, of all places. And I was on Twitter at that time in my life, and I tweeted that I was having this huge moment because I was behind a guy that I idolized. And somehow we connected on Twitter on the same flight. I said hello afterward and got to go to his show in St. Louis.
You saw Jane's Addiction?
Yeah, the newfangled Jane's Addiction.
No, it's only the bassist got
right.
switched out. It's you want to hear something weird. It's Alanis Morissette's bassist. So if you're playing bass like in a band and you're just doing like, you ought to know to remind you.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're doing coming down the mountain. That's got to be like hitting rock and roll nirvana.
Yeah, I would think so. He's, guarantee you know him better than I do, but he seems like a really smart, good businessman, you know, obviously with the Lollapalooza stuff.
Can you imagine if you, Joe Buck, I know you're probably well compensated to, if you're calling World Series games, 17 now under your belt.
Yes.
Inches. You know what I mean?
Hello.
I'm assuming you're probably very well compensated by the people at Fox. You work in show business, but when you create something, that's when the money really comes in. Like, I created Last Comic Standing, and I can honestly tell you, after the show, like 4 years after the show was ever on the air, checks come to the mailbox and you're like, whoa, it's because other countries buy it. So like Lollapalooza, I can't even imagine. He doesn't even have to be in it. He just picks the bands.
Yeah. No, we got to come up with something like television sports announcer Palooza. Wouldn't that be fun?
You
everybody packing Nance.
All right, I'll give you
hello, friends.
I'll give you my first ballot, Lollapalooza for sports announcers.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Vince Scully has the headline.
Yes.
Or maybe he goes up early because he's an older guy. And no, not making any old jokes about Vince Scully because that's the sacred cow. Like, you never made fun of Sinatra when he was up and running?
Right. Well, he'd have you killed.
Now he's dead, so we can just say, you know what? Fuck Frank Sinatra. You know what,
you
Frank? You got a free pass on that stupid toupee your whole life. Nobody ever went like, hey, Frank's got a geranium on his head. Don't tell him. Jilly will come meet you backstage,
right.
Baby.
Exactly. All right,
he did get, you got to be honest, Sinatra did get a free pass on the toupee. You could say that.
Yeah, no, I have no issue with saying that.
Do you think Rich Gannon, former quarterback of the Oakland Raiders, wears some type of lid on his
head? We're dealing with and delving into an area that is very near and dear to my heart. I mean,
hair pieces?
No, well, just the entire hair conversation.
Why?
Because I find it fascinating the things that men will do to not go bare up top. And some of the toppers that I see with like the chin strap and the tag hanging out, like how does that improve your look? How could anything that's under that be worse than what I'm looking at right now as I sit behind you in the airplane?
Jerry Jones, I think you have glue in your eye.
The glue.
Who or
the,
has
I
worst?
Saw some, go ahead.
No, you go. It's you're the guest.
No, the like the staple thing, like the snaps.
Yeah.
Snap it in.
That's old school when you got to snap it to your head.
God.
But you have to put like glue on your head first. And then I've done a lot of research because I'm going to get hair plugs one day because it's starting to go here.
That's why I'm saying. I'm telling you, man. It's for any, you know, like.
Vito over
Vito's
here.
Killing me.
He's
I look
a werewolf.
At him. The first thing I look at it is the hairline on anybody I meet. I'm like, I automatically. You're going to have to do something to make me like you because right now I hate you because you have a full head of hair.
Vito's.
I hate you because I meet you all the time.
All right.
Hey, good to meet you.
You're right. No, that's fair.
So
that's fair.
In my life.
Vito Violante's hairline starts, it's like Teresa Giudice from The Real Housewives of New Jersey. The hairline starts about an inch above her eyebrows, like Vito's.
Right. It's annoying. It really pisses me.
If your hair starts going.
It's going. It's gone.
Well,
it's,
are you?
Well, I'm doing a home run call.
It's going.
It's going. It's gone.
Like my hairline.
Like my hairline. Get me the number of Hans Wyman.
Hopefully somebody will throw that one back.
Hey.
Do you, are you going to get plugs?
I would do anything. I'm going to die of some lethal cocktail of Propecia and, I don't know, Levitra.
And Cialis.
And Cialis.
I found Cialis. We should, the podcast is way different than the radio show.
I'm finding that ready to be the case.
Open book. People know everything about me through this podcast.
Okay.
I found, right before we came on the air, I was going through my bag and I actually found an old prescription bottle of Cialis. So I opened it and I took one and I offered one to Joe Buck. I'm like, you want to take a Cialis? And you acted like I was offering you crack.
Well, thankfully, I'm one of the few people, I think, as I've done the research online, that takes Propecia who doesn't have some sort of a, you know, issue.
Why don't you just say dick problem? Swear.
I don't have any dick problems.
None. Definitely. I'm going to isolate that and just play it on a loop.
That's fine.
Done.
Go ahead. Vito's got it. He's
no,
like,
I don't
screw
have any
him. He doesn't remember me. We're
going to
do
any
the dick problem thing loop for Joe Buck.
I don't have any problems either, but it's like, all right, you know, it's
well,
like,
why not
shave some time off your 40 time? If it's a performance enhancer, I guess.
That's true.
Tonight I'll go home and my wife will go, what happened?
Doesn't that give you a headache or something?
No. I've done a lot of drugs, Joe Buck.
Okay.
I mean, once I just found Cialis in my bag, so I popped one.
I know.
It's
and
a little treat.
I got to tell you, it's unnerving to see the host pop a Cialis and go, okay, you ready to go into a studio and do the podcast?
What am I supposed to do? Throw it in the trash?
No, but why'd you have to take it before we sit down in a studio? I'm wondering what's coming here.
I'm not going to bend you over the console.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad to
hear
that.
Jay Moore from behind. Yes! And it
glad
counts!
Glad to hear that come out of your mouth. Thank you. I feel much more relaxed.
Who? What? In sports, have you seen the worst toupees on actual athletes? Are they, I mean, you can go retired, therefore.
You know, I don't know. Nobody's jumping to mind.
You never answered my Rich Gannon question. Rich Gannon.
I don't know. I can't tell you the last time I saw Rich Gannon.
Oh.
I do games on Sundays.
Bring Rich him out, ladies and gentlemen.
If he is, and it's a good one, then God bless.
So you don't, there's no athlete.
If you're asking me the question, it's got to be, if it is, then it's a good one, right?
Yeah, that is the thing. Like, if somebody has a good hairpiece, how would you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so fair enough.
Cheech and Chong did a whole routine with that, didn't they?
It's hard to get a date with hairpiece.
It is.
It's hard to get a date with a hairpiece.
Joe Buck pulling Cheech and Chong. I dig it. Well, the answer to your question...
How long have you had hairpiece?
Hairpiece. a red freak. Dave's not here, man. Dave, you know why Dave wasn't there? He was out shopping for hairpieces.
Uh-huh.
The answer to your question, Joe Buck, voice of Fox. And you're not on Twitter anymore?
Nah, I mean, I'm theoretically. You can follow me. Follow me Buck. Into a dead end.
The answer to your question is, what could be worse? What could look worse than that geranium you have on your head?
Yeah.
Me, for example, my head, when I have either a shaved head or I've had like a crew cut for like a movie, it is an awful looking bald.
As would mine be, just terrible. I have my football helmet in high school. I had to go to the football Cardinals. They were in St. Louis at the time, the now Arizona Cardinals. I had to get a helmet specially shipped in. It was 8 1/8.
Is that big?
That's huge.
How old were you?
I was, what, 16, 17?
You had an 8?
8 1/8.
At 16 years old?
Yeah.
You must have like fallen over when you jogged.
Yeah, I didn't jog. I was a fat kid.
You were a fat guy playing football.
Fat guy playing football. Played defensive tackle, broke my neck my senior year.
You broke your neck?
Broke my neck.
You went to the hospital, obviously.
Went to the doctor after I played for a week with a broken, complaining to the coach that it was really hurting. And then the doctor came out as one of my friend's dad. He looked at me like with some ancient CAT scan machine. He's like, you're not going to believe this, but your neck's broken.
What did your coach say when you told him you think you had a broken neck?
Oh, okay, you wimp. Finally, you make a good hit. Let's go. Go get it checked. I went back. It's like, my neck's broken. He's like, oh, well, that's too bad. All right, line it up, guys. Let's...
No compassion.
No compassion.
It's a whole different world we live in. You would have gotten a participatory ribbon just for showing up. They would have. Everybody would have signed
parade.
You. Did you have, for a broken neck, did they put you in traction?
No,
like a neck
it was
cast?
Just like a clean fracture. They gave me a little neck brace thing that I never wore because I was a, you know, scared 18-year-old worried about how I looked and didn't wear it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of broken necks, Rich Gannon broke his neck. Derek Brooks put the hit on him, ended his career, broke his neck. Buccaneers right? versus Raiders, yeah.
I didn't know this was going to be Rich Gannon-centric.
It doesn't have to be anything. It
okay.
can be anything we want.
Okay.
Your first World Series that you called, what year was it?
1996.
And who was in it? Yankees, Padres.
Yankees and the, no, it was 98. Drat. Yankees and the Atlanta Braves.
That was the Jim Leyritz down 0-2. Jim Leyritz yes. hits the bomb.
Off Wohlers.
Off Mark Wohlers. You want to hear a great Jim Leyritz story?
I'm sure there are many of them.
Well, yeah, when he's not drinking and driving his car through people's houses.
I'd like
bastard.
To hear the story.
Get some help, Jim Leyritz, for crying out loud. Jim Leyritz, when he was on the Angels, the manager pinch hit for him in the ninth, but he went to the plate anyway, and they had to go get him. And they introduced the other guy. And then he comes back to the dugout, throws his helmet, throws his bat, has like a complete fit. And then as the other guy's like working the counts, like six pitches into the count, Jim Leyritz just looks up and goes, anybody ever heard of Mark fucking Wohlers?
I can hear that.
That was that. And then the next night, he was not pinch hit for in the bottom of the ninth, and he hit a single, and he stood on first base pointing into his own dugout at his own manager going, how do you like that, buddy, huh? How do you like that, my man? Is that okay? Is that okay?
That's great.
So you wonder, like, some guys, they can hit, like, 280 and 20 home runs, but they never seem to land anywhere. Turns out some of them are just dicks.
Yeah, I haven't seen Jim in a long time. Jim, these guys, the funny thing that happens with these guys is they will, you know, I think of Jeff Nelson, who used to pitch for the Yankees. And I remember being at a bar after they won it. I was friends with a couple guys on the team. They're bullpen catchers. Great guy, Mike Borzello. He's like, yeah, come. We're going to go get a drink in New York. It was on the Upper East Side. Went there. A lot of the Yankees were there after they won the World Series, and I was there. And the perception, as we've talked about before, is you hate every team. You know, you're always rooting against the team. I feel, as I'm standing there in the bar, it's not a packed bar, feel an ice cube hit me in the back of the head. And I turn around and nothing. Talking to my friend, ice cube in the back of the head. I turn around and it's Jeff Nelson. I'm like, hey, what's the deal? Why do you hate us? Why are you up there rooting against us in the booth? I hear what you say. I'm not rooting against you in the booth. I don't care who wins this game. Yeah, okay. Now he's broadcasting. And then it's the story's completely shift. And
he's
go
the
from,
one that invited you. Well, oh, no, the bullpen catcher.
The bullpen catcher did, but it's like...
Jeff Nelson's a
now,
big guy.
He's a big guy.
Holy smokes.
I mean, I got, you know...
If that happens in real life, you're hoping it's like Mike Gallego.
Right.
Like a nice little 5 foot...
That's great, yeah.
A little 5 foot five man.
Yes. Freddie Patek.
Very well done,
yes.
Sir. So your first World Series, 1996. Who gives you that call? Like when your phone rings and they ask you to call the World Series... Or is that negotiated into your contract beforehand?
No, Fox gets... Well, first of all, Fox gets the rights to cover the NFL in 94. And instead of everybody at CBS moving over to Fox, like they would all... The announcer just would just travel in packs and they would go to whoever had the rights. Well, Fox said, we're going to get Pat Summerall and John Madden, and then we're going to get a lot of new guys. And I happen to be one of the new guys. My dad worked with the guy who was hiring at Fox. And he said, oh, my mom actually said, you should hear my son. He does Cardinal baseball, and he's really great. Yeah, get me a VHS or whatever they were handing out back then, like Laserdisc or whatever my resume was on. And so I got hired to do the NFL. I'd never done the NFL before. And I was sitting at Soldier Field on opening day in 1994, like, what the hell am I doing? What have I gotten into? Because I've never done this. But what I had done was baseball. So they get the rights in 96 to cover baseball. And I got hired to do that with Tim McCarver, who my dad had worked with for 2 years in the early 90s. And they, part of the deal was that if you were the main guy, you were going to call the World Series every year.
Now, so how much your dad, by the way, the listeners should know, is the Hall of Fame broadcaster, Jack Buck, just one of the all-time upper 1% of upper 1% announcers that have absolutely ever lived. So you knew going in that you were going to get the World Series, or was it like a month out they said, like, oh, by the way, you do realize you're calling the World Series?
Yeah, no, I knew that was part of the deal. If you were going to, we were the main Saturday game, and back then it was picking up Saturdays in May, and then you'd carry it through the end of the year, and McCarver and I were going to broadcast the World Series. We ended up doing, I guess, 16 together, which is hard to believe.
How terrifying. How old were you, first of all?
26 when they told me.
Wow.
27 when I did it. I was terrified to the point where, you know, you're always, and I don't care what you do in this business, whether it's sports or comedy or whatever, you're always afraid of being exposed as like some sort of a fraud, or you're not qualified, or I was just somebody's kid that got hired to do it. And so you feel like you got to prove yourself every time you open your mouth. And that's hard to do in a 3.5 hour broadcast live at a sporting event. And I remember getting ready for the first game and it's pouring rain at Yankee Stadium. So I got all my stuff in my scorebook. It was all ready to go. Then they canceled the game. And I was so happy because I could then go back, kind of gather my wits, come back out the next night and relax getting into the game, because all my stuff, my work was done, and I could just kind of just ease into it. And like anything, once the game starts, you just do the baseball game and you don't really worry about who's watching or who's listening.
So I know this just from doing like radio every day. There's just guys' names I don't know. And there's guys' names I mispronounce. And especially hockey with the influence of like Slovenian and Swedish and, you know, players from abroad. There's names I get wrong. And I can only imagine. When I hosted the NHL Awards, I said Stevie Weiserman going out to break. But his nickname is Stevie Y.
Right.
So I just ran it all together in my head. It's live TV. And I said Stevie Weiserman. And they had, that was the first NHL Awards where they had like, and this is our social media corner over here. God. And I go, how are things going, guys? Like, I wanted to see, like, I'm hot shit. Like, how it's going great, right? God. And they were like, not too good. You're trending on Twitter for messing up Stevie Eiserman. And I was like, I didn't mess up Stevie Eiserman. They go, you just did it again. And I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And, like, some guy stood up. No, it was a gal. Excuse me. It was a gal that stood up. I don't know what she did. She just had, like, 40 laminates hanging around her neck. And she goes, Eiserman. Eiserman. The Y is silent. And she had her hands up like, Eiserman. And I'm like, oh, okay. But here's what let me off talk. This was my rain delay. The next, after we come out of commercial break, it was the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills were presenting. Ugh. And Martin St. Louis of the Tampa Bay Lightning won an award. And Camille Grammer, Kelsey Grammer's ex-wife, goes, Martin Street Lewis.
Oh, my God.
For Martin St. Louis.
Not even St. Louis.
No, Street. Martin Street Lewis. And then he takes his award and walks away. And then I looked right down the barrel of the camera and I go, you guys still mad at me for saying Stevie Eiserman now?
Oh, my God.
And he got a big laugh and I got let off the hook.
Well, you found out that night, like I've lived my life, people are so passionate about sports. You know, it's you can't really find an example of that somewhere else, except for maybe I was thinking of Travolta with the Idina Menzel thing that happened at
Oscars. Was like he had a stroke.
Why, that was just nuts. I don't know what came
up. He was like, please welcome Nipsey Russell. Right. Like, it wasn't even in the ballpark. Right. I wish Nipsey Russell came out.
It would have been great.
This at song is good.
Rhyming,
this
rhyming
song is heaven. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 7.
That's awesome.
Nipsey Menzel.
So, yeah, I mean, if you screw anything up like that, it's one of the pronunciations, literally one of the first and last things I look at before a game. Because the minute you mispronounce somebody's name, you know, I feel like you lose credibility with that audience. And, you know, I have to fake my way through it sometimes. I mean, I haven't heard of all these players. I mean, players, you know.
Yeah, September call-ups especially.
Yeah, I have no idea, you know. And then Howard's, you know, some of the Latin guys go with the real pronunciation. Some of the guys, you know, they Americanize their name. The catcher for the Tigers is Alex Avila. But his dad, who's in the front office, is Avila. So he's like, no, I don't care. Just Avila's fine. So I know a friend of mine who's Avila. And it's every time the guy comes to the plate, I spell it out in my scorebook phonetically, because the first time I screw it up, it's like, you know, you don't know anything.
That's what I was going to ask you, too, is like you get that rain delay and you go back to your hotel. And as you put it with your work, is your work, I would think if you're calling a World Series or any game or a football game, like you got to know every guy's name, every position, where they went to college, where they're from, what country they're from, what town in that country they're from. And it's specifically with baseball, there's so much time to kill. Do you have to come up with like anecdotes for every player? Like,
no, I mean, I think the one thing I've done is kind of adopt this whole less is more garbage that everybody talks about. But I really believe that in a great sporting event, that's really true. Because if the crowd's going nuts, there's nothing that I can say. And that gets back to what we talked about at the beginning, that the Tyree catch or whatever. Sometimes you got to let things just breathe a little bit. And I've evolved with that whole, you know, getting too amped up versus kind of letting the moment just play out. I think when I started with football, I'm going all over the place, but it triggers different things. I was taken over for Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall was the master of just the bare bones.
Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
Everyone's got a Pat Summerall name that they'll never forget.
Yeah. Okay.
Bieniemy.
Yeah. That's okay. So now we take over, and I'm not Eric Bieniemy for the touchdown. I can't. That's not me either. So I was trying to kind of go more the old way, more the Pat Summerall way. I think I've kind of split the difference. So I'll get a little bit more excited in the exciting moments like you and I've talked about on the radio, but I'll also just shut up and let it breathe. So do I come up with anecdotes? No, I don't try to flood the viewer with stats. I don't try to flood the viewer with my voice and trying to impress you with all that I know. I leave 80% of what I know behind and just cover the game and let it go.
Has there ever been a, and you don't have to say a name, but, it, well, no, you can say a name. Well, you work with Tim McCarver for 16 World Series. Has there ever been a time in the booth where you guys had an absolute shit-fit argument that you was like, guys, we're on in like 5 seconds. You got to put this aside.
You know, the funny thing is, and I would tell you, there's no reason not to. Tim and I, we're very different. And, you know, Tim's got his own schedule. I had mine. We were the best of friends in the booth. He's not a cell phone guy. He's not a texter. He's not, which I am. So when we were doing the games, everything, he and I were so dead on each other's team. Just whatever you need, I'm here for, vice versa. But we didn't do dinners. We didn't do a lot of, hey, let's go out. It just wasn't our thing. So there wasn't a lot of extracurricular stuff that would lead to fights. You know, I knew that when I was in the booth, he was pulling for me to have the greatest game of my life, and I was pulling for him. I was telling Vito before we came on, you know, I was always pulling for him, you know, always rooting for him and worrying about him, and I think he was me. And so we never had anything. We never. One time. And that's rare, because I know a lot of broadcast teams that don't get along, and you can hear it.
Well, the guys, and John Sterling, I can't imagine those two getting along.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a weird vibe when you listen to it.
Well, John Sterling, in my opinion, is the actual worst announcer.
Really?
I'm not going to ask you to pile on, because it's your livelihood and it's your bread and butter.
I like John. I think, you know, he's got a shtick. He's got, you know, that's
I mean, Yankees win.
It's crazy. I mean,
emphasis
that's crazy.
Might be on Yankees or the word win, not on he's Count Chocula all of a sudden. Like, he's like, and he tells story. Like, I've turned on,
you know, Susan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was down at the pool this morning.
Right.
There's a double to the gap.
No, yeah. I don't hear him enough. So I don't really have an opinion. All I hear is the Yankees win stuff. And the, you know,
when Curtis
the Bambino. The Grandy Man can.
Yeah, the Grandy Man can.
I was driving in New York listening to a Yankee game.
That makes me laugh, though. I think that's funny.
But not funny for the right reason.
Okay.
It's funny for like, oh my God, this is absurd.
It is kind of absurd, but
a
I like
text
it.
Text message from Mark Teixeira. You've done it again. Oh, that hits the mark, Teixeira. Like, everything's so coy.
Yeah.
I was listening to a Yankee game on ABC in a rental car driving around Manhattan, and I was literally
That was your afternoon? Just, let's go rent a car and drive around
Manhattan.
No,
I actually went to go see my folks, and I came back. But from the entrance to the Holland Tunnel to the St. Regis Hotel, I didn't know what the score was. I don't know who was. It was just a long. It was a long inning, obviously, but it was just a long story. And I'm like, just who's winning? Just right. Drop a number on me.
Well, that gets back to what you said before. People, my dad used to joke, you know, if he ever dropped dead in the booth, two guys would be walking in downtown St. Louis the next day and go, oh man, did you hear Jack Buck died in the booth last night? Oh, that's too bad. Cardinals win. That's all really anybody wants to know. And if you're watching the game and that meter goes off, I have like a timer in my head, like, I am talking too much. I'm going on too long. I need to shut up. People want to know the score and why the score is what it is and why this pitcher's struggling and why this hitter's doing what he's doing. Beyond that, I mean, some of that other stuff, just I feel like it's an announcer trying to just listen to themselves talk.
You and I have very different meters.
Well, yeah. Thank God. You would have no career. Yeah, I know.
Wow, there's too many pauses in this stand-up comedy show.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
I know how to do. I don't know how you do what you do. I mean, if I called a World Series, I'd be like,
I don't think
Pettit
so.
Comes out of the bullpen.
No,
it's petite.
You could do it. You know, you pick your spots. I could do stand-up.
Easily.
Clearly.
Easily.
Easily.
And for when I laid eyes on you for the first time,
that
I'm like,
guy.
That is a guy.
He's got it.
And you, by the way, little known fact, Joe Buck, 4 callbacks for the movie Punchline.
Uh-huh.
It was between you and some other guy. Go to the Amazon banner at jmoore.com, my friends, and I will read what you bought. Basically, Amazon just wants to know that you got there through my website. Doesn't cost you anything. If you have Amazon like on your toolbar on your computer, replace it with jmoore.com. Holidays are coming, so do your Christmas shopping. If you do it on Amazon, go to jmoore.com, click that Amazon banner. I get a kickback, and it all goes direct deposit to my son's college account. I do not see a penny of this money. It's all right to my kid's education. So when little Mackey, the world's strongest toddler, is playing defensive tackle at USC, you can go, holy smokes, I helped put that kid into college. And you did, like our good friend Matt Chartrand. Chartrand. C-H-A-R-T-R-A-N-D. Matt Weiserman. JJ just got MSI Dominator Dragon gaming laptop for $1,500.
Whoa.
Maybe I shot low with USC.
Yeah.
MIT, here we come. Now I can listen to more stories at 40 FPS, parentheses, just kidding. This is way over my head.
He has to be kidding.
Technically,
you can't do it at 40 FPS.
What is FPS?
I have no idea.
All right. I don't know. But Matt Chartrand, email me back and let me know what all this stuff means. Just got an MSI Dominator Dragon gaming laptop for $1,500. Now I can listen to more stories at 40 FPS. Parentheses, just kidding. Much love to you and your family. Keep the podcast going. Hey, Matt, I will, because of really cool guys like you. When I drive, I want excitement behind the wheel. That's why I choose Shell V Power Premium Gasoline, and I experience a drive that comes alive. Shell V Power removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. Hey, man, I drive a lot for a living. I can't have gunk in my engine. That's why I got that Shell V Power Premium, baby. Starts with your very first tank. Now you can save big on Shell fuels. Just sign up free for the Fuel Rewards Network program and receive at least 3 cents per gallon instantly on every single fill up. For a full offer and details, visit fuelrewards.com.
To the insurance company that tried to break my heart. I am stronger than you ever gave me credit for. You thought I'd never leave? Well, today, I let you go. Today, I found GEICO. In just 15 minutes, GEICO has given me the sweet savings on my car insurance that you always promised, but never delivered. It's a brand new day, and the sun shines on my GEICO automobile insurance policy with 1,000 golden rays. And never looking back. Nancy, in New York.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What is
Taylor Negron?
Taylor Negron.
Taylor Negron is who edged me out for Punchline.
He was just on the podcast a couple weeks ago. It's a very strange.
You do not need carpet.
You can do it.
Oh yeah,
you're up and running. If I put you on stage at like an open mic night, if I gave you like a month,
I do it anyway. I do banquets. What do you think? I just get up there, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening.
What do? You open like
I tell topical jokes, many funny things. I do voices.
A lot of stuff about the Asians, I heard.
Yeah.
Like, let me tell you, once I saw Shigetoshi Hashigawa in the shower, now I know why he is, et cetera, et cetera. Stuff like that, right?
No, I just bow out at the end of the setup.
Well, after Shigetoshi Hashigawa. Bob Shepard, Yankee announcer, asked his favorite names ever said. You want to talk about something incongruous rattling around in your brain? I've carried this for 10 years, never shared it with anybody.
Okay.
Shigetoshi Hashigawa. And the other one was Mickey Mantle. Like the two favorite
names.
And
then he said, you know the one that I always hated? Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter.
Which they're playing. I think he wakes up to that in the morning.
You know, Bob Shepard taught speech at St. John's.
I was aware of that.
And people would take the class just to hear their names for roll.
Oh.
And then they would just tap out of the class. So like first day of the class, they would go, Bob Shepard would go, Vito Violante. And then Vito would say, here. And then Vito would just never go back. He would just drop it and take
home
ec.
I'm out.
Vito's on Twitter, at Vito Violante. Joe Buck's on Twitter, but good luck, at Joe Buck. I'm on Twitter.
At Buck, I think it is.
Just Buck?
At Buck.
You really got Buck?
Yeah.
Those are cool. Some people got the best, like Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins. That guy got fucking Billy.
Really?
I couldn't get my own name. I had to put a 37 on the end of it.
Your
1 through 36 was actually taken. Like the real Jay Moore, the
Jay Moore.
So
there's no significance to 37?
It's the year my father was born.
Oh.
And it was my number in high school when I played baseball, and I wrestled at 137 pounds. So it all worked out. It was kismet.
Yeah.
But
I got at Buck.
It's at Buck.
Yeah.
That's badass.
That's nice.
And why don't you do the social media? Because people tell you. I know why.
Yeah. It's my daughter.
Yeah. That's his daughter, Vito.
Relax.
Can we stay on topic? So you got, why did you get off of Twitter? Because of the haters?
Yeah, read my little, whatever you call it, at the top there.
This is fascinating podcasting visuals. Oh, okay. At Buck, I root for all teams except yours. Please rip these following topics. Artie Lang, Fernando Tatis, my forehead, and nepotism. It's all so fun. Let's go in order. Fernando Tatis, what's the problem?
When I got separated from my first wife, I'm now in wife number two, but in that gap.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Never say sorry to a guy that got divorced.
No, I, yeah.
Congrats, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
Second
you,
marriage is the charm.
It is. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody called WFAN in New York and said, oh, I know why Joe Buck's getting separated. I've heard that he's having an affair with Fernando Tatis, who was at the time playing
his
with
wife,
the,
him.
Him.
Oh my!
Who was at the time playing for the New York Mets, and AJ Delario, who was the editor of Deadspin, is no longer there. Calls me and he goes, "Hey, what's this thing with you and Fernando Tatis?" I'm like, "What? Yeah, you go online, and if you go to my name, like on whatever on Google or whatever, you punch my name in, it's on there, like toward the top."
Is he gay that you know of?
I know. I have no idea. I've never spoken to him.
You would tell me?
Him.
Would you have said it on this podcast if you knew?
Well, if he was and he was talking about it, I would.
But you don't know.
I have no clue.
Okay.
No, I
but
in fact,
I'll tell you, I think there's some gay baseball. They're retired now, but I know.
Well, there have to. I mean, the numbers, I'm sure.
Mike Piazza had to have that damn press conference to announce that he wasn't gay.
I could kind of see why you have to do that. Because
right,
it was frustrating.
But there was a guy in the Mets that I think is gay.
Really?
And I think Mike Piazza had to cover for that guy. Because do you know who I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
You're so full of shit.
On my kids, I have no idea who you're talking about.
First of all, you have 14 kids. So if you lost a couple, like
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, would know. Right. Good point. Fair.
Mike Piazza, in case you guys don't know.
I remember when he was saying
that. He had to hold a press conference because Page Six and the New York Post were like, New York Met dating a famous female athlete is actually gay, and that's his beard. And Mike Piazza at the time, I don't know the female athlete he was dating, but he was dating a female athlete.
Okay. You don't have to say. Don't wade into trouble here if you think he was covering for somebody.
I don't get it. What do I? This is the podcast, Joe. This isn't radio.
Well, so what? It's still out there. That's
Robbie
like going,
Alomar.
Hey, it's Twitter.
Robbie Alomar, gay.
Okay, great.
And he was dating Mary Pierce. I think Mike Piazza was covering for Robbie Alomar.
Hmm.
And remember when he spit in John Hirschbeck's face?
Oh, yeah.
It's because John Hirschbeck threw an F-bomb at him. Get back in the box, F, you know.
Oh.
And then he spit right in his face. That was the whole thing. Mm. Let's go back to this Twitter profile.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like I don't like Joe. Well,
when's the last time?
Like
January? Not too. Yeah, it's a who say.
2014.
Could yeah, not be a better fall day in Boston. That is October 13th, 2013.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow Joe Buck,
enjoy some tweets from 2012.
All right, your forehead is regular,
massive.
But you're talking to a guy like me. I'm giving Peyton Manning a run for his money, forehead wise.
Yeah, but that's something that on Twitter everybody crushes me on. So.
Nepotism. People assume that
son.
You got your job, but you did say that your dad did. In all fairness, your dad put the call in, and your mom said, "I mean, it's the
Absolutely.
Buck family. That's St. Louis
Here
royalty."
Here we are. Whatever, 20 years later, and
I have no problem with nepotism.
I
know, delivers,
believe me,
and you've delivered.
Yeah,
so if
I'm
your dad did
it.
Get you through the door,
thank
then
God.
Great.
Yeah, thank God for nepotism. I wouldn't have been doing anything as a kid.
If your dad wasn't a broadcaster,
no.
Do you think you would have gotten into broadcasting?
I don't know.
Porn?
I don't even know how to porn? Probably porn.
And Artie Lang. Artie Lang. Let's talk about that after these commercials. All right, so Joe Buck's show was on HBO for like 14 and a half minutes.
Yeah, I think...
How many episodes did you...
I'm going to tell you. I think I was scheduled for 4 in a calendar year, and we did 3. I think we did 3. I don't think we did 4. And then I had another year that they didn't pick up.
And this is just going to be an HBO talk show with Joe Buck.
Quarterly,
was
yeah.
it going to be sports-centric in its inception?
Yeah, it was after Costas left. Costas right. got hired at... MLB Network, and Ross Greenberg called me and said, we'd love for you to, in essence, take over for Bob. He was doing kind of the town hall meetings at that time, and he was doing, you know, special sit-down interviews with Willie Mays and, you know, that kind of thing. So they wanted me to take over, and, you know, I got in there and wanted to change it up a little bit.
How so?
Well, I just thought, I'm Bob's a good friend of mine. Bob and I are very different. I'm not really your basic sports guy that's, you know, crunching numbers and, you know, I would rather watch the interview with Willie Mays and Bob do it than me sit down and do it. I would rather have fun.
Devil's advocate, then why take the gig?
Because I thought there was room to kind of change it up. I'd love to interview Willie Mays.
You're so naive, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
With the show business.
Trust me.
I change it up, guys, right? Whatever you want, Joe. And then you signed the contract.
Uh-huh. And then they wanted Bob Costas Jr. And I was like, that's not me.
Charlie M? You wanted to change it up for Charlie M?
Right.
So you wanted to make it a little more loosey-goosey.
I wanted it to be more fun, more, you know.
So, and one of those things was,
let's have a comedic segment.
Okay.
Where at the end of the show, guys who are, you know, Artie Lang, huge sports fan, said he'd be great to have on. I was the one that wanted him on. I was the one that helped get him.
And this was episode one?
Episode one. Right out of the gate.
Who were the other guests? Because this
in
is like,
that segment?
On that show.
On that show.
Historically speaking, if you want to look at, I've been on plenty of train wreck. The show was not a train wreck. It became a train wreck because of the back and forth between you and Artie. And I told you during Jay Moore Sports, the radio show, during a break, I'm going to tell you what you did wrong from a comedy perspective.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you exactly. And it's a simple solution, but you can't turn back time. But you might say to yourself, like, how did this get this crazy between me and Artie Lang? Who now you're friends with, and I know...
I wrote the forward to his book. Yeah. To answer the question, you're right. I'm really proud of the show. And the ratings were good, which really pissed me off.
Who were the guests on that
Brett
show?
Brett Favre.
Yeah.
It was
Lollapalooza, and we still didn't... We got to go back to the Lollapalooza of announcers, so...
But it was Brett Favre, and he hadn't talked to anybody, and he was coming back, and that's when he ended up with Minnesota. He had
the dick pics when he sent his junk, or before that?
This was before that, when he came back to go... Vikings. Yeah.
Okay.
When he went to the Vikings from Green Bay, right?
And that's like, you know, that's being a traitor.
Yeah. So he had not announced anything. It was the first interview. Then we had... Michael Irvin and Chad Ochocinco.
Okay.
In a segment.
That must have been...
I love Mike.
I love Mike too. Great. And my phone. Playmaker.
Yeah. Chad Ochocinco is right there behind him. And actually, Michael Irvin had the greatest line in that whole show. Which, if you remember it, when the Artie Lang thing's going on, they cut to the crowd and somebody... I said, what do you think about this, Michael? Like, you know, help me. And he said, I'm just enjoying some white-on-white crime, which was hilarious. And then it was the comedic segment, which was Sudeikis, Paul Rudd, and Artie.
Yeah.
And Koechner did a video thing.
One-hour show,
straight live.
Far too many guests off the top. As a person that has sold shows... And a person that is executive produce shows.
Yes,
you got. There's water in this boat. There's too many people in this boat.
Okay,
because I want Joe Buck to do a show.
Yeah.
So we got Brett Favre. We can go for 15 minutes with Brett Favre. Then you do your piece with Koechner,
right?
Who's money in the bank?
Yeah, he's great.
And then you got to make the decision: do you want the receivers or do you want the comedic element? But I'm sure HBO told you there's probably somebody they said last comic standing. We had to pick 10 comics to move into the house. I handed in my list of 10, and they handed it back to me. Said you only have two women. And I said, well, yeah. And they said, you have to have three women because we have to represent the female demographic of America. And I said, but there weren't three women out of those 50 that were deserving of going. And they just interrupted me and said, you got to get a third woman. So I had to scratch off the name of a guy who was completely deserving and worthy of going into the house and add in like a girl that I didn't think was very funny. I don't even remember who it was, to be honest with you. So I know that HBO probably told you somebody was on the show no matter what.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't really remember that part. I remember that it was a lot... The executives there were a lot more scared than I was used to working for. I work for really? A guy... I worked for... Yeah, it surprised me. A couple things. First of all, it was a pain in the ass to get guests. It was really hard. And I ended up flying Brett Favre in privately on my dime to sit down on that show and interview him for HBO, part one. And I had to make all the calls for all those guys. I know Michael Irvin through Troy, got Michael Irvin. They got Chad Ochocinco. I've known Rudd since college. He got Sudeikis. And Artie Lang was kind of one of their gets and a guy that I wanted. And that's how the thing came together. But I don't know. I think that was just kind of how it was set up.
The thing with the show, I watched it because I always liked you. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is great. It'll the Joe Buck Show. It's going to be live on HBO. And let's see what happens. So to the listener listening to the podcast, the only thing you remember was that Artie Lang single-handedly removed you from television on HBO.
Right.
That's fair to say.
Yeah, I think had that not happened, I think...
Well, you said the ratings were really great.
The ratings were great. That's why I say, had this been at Fox for David Hill, who I worked for forever...
Oh, he's the greatest.
He would have gone, let me tell you, that was great, and next, who knows what you're going to see next time, which...
Joe's not crazy. He's an Australian guy, so you guys know.
But that's he would have said, this is live. Who knows what you're going to see next time? Tune in. It's going to be great.
And David Hill, the best executive I've ever worked with.
Best executive ever.
And I asked him for a raise once. He was at some hotel in Miami. We were down there for maybe Super Bowl. It was Miami. I don't know. We were someplace for a Super Bowl, and I went up to his hotel room. It was prearranged. I didn't just cold call him like I'm selling Bibles. And I asked him for a raise, and he said, how much do you want? I was making $3,000 to do NFL This Morning. And I said, well, you know what? I think I bring a lot to the show. $5,000. And he looks at me and he goes, you came all the way up here just to ask me for two more fucking $1,000? Oh, Christ. And he takes out a giant leather book and opens it like the kind you would see in like a movie with knights in it.
Right, and sunlight comes out of it.
And he takes out a pencil and my name's in that book and he crosses out 2,000 and writes 5,000. He goes, are you going to bother me all day? Can I get on with it? And I don't know, terrible Australian accent. And that was it. Like, it was so stupidly easy. Yeah, David Hill he doesn't complicate winning.
No.
At all.
So that's who
that's
I was used to work.
From.
That's where it came from. I was like, hey, you know, this was bad. And I couldn't get off the stage before writers from the Post, the New York Times, are crowding me at the stage. Like, that was the last segment. I couldn't leave. I couldn't talk to Ross Greenberg. I couldn't talk to my family. My kids were there. I couldn't get off the stage to get 5 minutes after being on stage for a live hour.
But why were they so nervous going in?
I don't know. They just they had their own way, and God love them. They do sports great. I mean, whether it's real sports or whatever, they're brilliant the way they tell stories. I just think it was a bad fit from the beginning. But when I say scared, I'm saying they were nervous at the reaction to Artie. So it wasn't really going in. It was the way they reacted coming out, like, he'll never be on HBO again. He'll never this, like wanting him deported. And then it became me against Artie, which I never want. I went into Artie before we went out on that show, and I said, hey, when you get out there, Rudd's a friend of mine. I kind of know Sudeikis. I'm a fan of yours. Rip me. Give me crap. Just blow me up. I don't care. I'll handle it. He's like, all right, man. Yeah, okay. And he had this look in his eyes like it's not, hindsight. He looked completely screwed up, and he's admitted that he snorted Vicodin and drank Jack before he came out there, and he was out of his mind. And so he started in on me, and then it just was an onslaught. Which, go ahead, what should I have done in your opinion?
Here's what happened. When it first started going, Artie Lang was going like, nobody's going to watch this. The show, this is a piece of shit anyway. Right. He was really like
where's Costas? Where's, yeah.
Yeah, so they hired Jack Buck's kid to fill Bob Costas' tiny jock. Like, he was just going on and on.
Right.
I don't know the exact counts because it was a long time ago. But the first two times, you straight-faced it, and you were Joe Buck. You were the elder statesman. And you let Artie die on the vine, and you were going to let people judge Artie over there. He was all the way to your right.
No doubt.
Okay, my left if you're watching. The third time Artie took a shot at you, you made a joke back.
Possibly. I've blacked a lot of this out.
No, I know this. This is because I was like, you know what? If you
took shots at Artie the whole way and tried to go toe to toe with a comic,
would have been
a fool's errand. However, people would have been like, "Fucking Joe Buck, man, guy, he stood there and took his cuts. You got to give him credit." And then at the end, go, "I can't match wits with Artie Lang, but I gave it a shot," or something. But you started high road, and then you allowed him to pull you down,
right? And then, well, go ahead.
You go.
No, then what's going through my mind is, you know, I can turn this into, you know, me getting dirty back at him, me making drug or fat or loser jokes at him, or I can try to pull myself back up because I'm not going to undo everything I've built up
right in
my day job for this once a quarter thing on HBO. I was like, screw this.
Oh, I never even thought about it.
I
say something like, well, then you're a fucking cunt.
Then I'm
all
done.
All of a sudden, you have no job.
I'm done. So no, this is all going through my mind like, okay, what am I? I can sit here. And every time the director took a shot at me, half the time I was laughing. Every time as it turned out, the director showed me, I was like kind of looking at him. I watched it afterward going, God bless. That's not how I felt at all while it was happening. But I was going through the mental gymnastics of how in the heck, what am I going to do here? Am I going to go down and start swinging at him and then get dirty and end everything? Or am I just going to have to sit here and take my lumps and
that
wait out 10 minutes?
Comedically, when you did take shots back at Artie, that now it all makes sense to me. Comedy math that goes on in my head and every comic's head, that makes sense. The math problem now in my head is solved because you took shots at Artie, but I didn't feel like your heart was in it. And I thought if you had stayed above the fray and just let that director keep taking shots of Joe Buck, bemused, like this poor guy on the end of the couch just trying to torpedo this entire show.
And what he didn't know, because he was so, I mean, the room hated him. After about the third one,
it was awkward.
Turned on him. And he was dying. And then he was like, you know, getting a cigarette out. And he's like, you know, you want me to light this up? I was like, at this point, do you think I care? Go ahead. You know, hoping that he would.
You did say the words at this point, and it got a huge laugh.
Yeah. And then he's like, your dad was Jack Buck. I was like, correct. You know, just I'm trying to get anything in. And then we did like this online thing afterward, which it got even worse. And then that was when I was hitting back at him because we were on the internet. And I was like, okay. So I think that might have been when Michael Irvin said, this is white on white crime.
Yeah. So in hindsight, I always thought it's like if you're bombing on like Letterman doing stand up, if you just keep smiling and every once in a while just nod your head yes and just keep looking around, when it's all said and done, the applause light comes on, everybody applauds, you get out of there. You know it sucked, but Middle America goes, it was nice.
Right.
I thought at the time.
I was stuck.
I think the moment you made a joke back, you made yourself stuck. If you stayed Elder Statesman and never wrestled with the pigs, and you wrestle with pigs, you get dirty. If you stayed Elder Statesman, he would have died on the vine because the room had turned against him. And then you could have done your thing, which you did say, I think. I'd like to thank 4/5 of my guests for showing up tonight.
Right, yeah.
And then that would have been your one shot on the way out.
Right.
But it's when you try to go comedy with a comic and you realize, I got this Fox. I'm doing fucking World Series.
Yeah, and I'm going to start mucking it around with this guy.
So you MFing him and all that?
No way.
You half-assed it.
Yeah.
The comedy part.
I was stuck mentally.
The moment you made a joke to Artie, you put yourself in the hole.
You're right.
Because you made that kind of commitment. You can't. You tried to be kind of half-pregnant.
Right.
So you should have just...
And then Rudd, who I've known since we were 18, he's like, hey, you got anything over there, Paul? He's just like...
No, they all fucking tapped out on you.
Nobody said anything.
No, they were all freaked out.
I'm looking at Rudd like, hey, how about throw me a life preserver? And evidently, reading Artie's book, Rudd's one of my best friends. In the break, we had a break in that. That's when Koechner's thing rolled. Rudd turns to Artie and goes, I don't know if you know how epic this is. This is epic. I'm like, now I read this. If that's true, it's in Artie's book. So I'm like, okay. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. And Sudeikis got after him a little bit.
Yeah, he did a couple runs at him fearlessly, and he got down in the mud.
Paul was scared.
Threw a half Nelson.
Paul was scared that Artie was going to turn on Paul. You know, Paul was scared that it was going to go from.
Yeah, but why would Paul care? He doesn't have a, it's not his show.
No, I know.
He's just a guest. But I remember
Sudeikis,
not only did he, he got down in the mud with the pigs and he threw a half Nelson and he really tried to get down and dirty. But the odd thing is people don't realize you are the one that told Artie to go after you.
Absolutely.
So then why did you come get discombobulated when he started going after you?
Because it was, there's levels of going after somebody and then it was just far. There was nothing to be said.
It was HBO at like midnight.
That was my thing. That's why I was pissed afterward. It's like, okay, all of a sudden we're
you
too high.
You got exactly what you asked for.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
That's why I was never mad at Artie.
Sorry.
Yeah, but that's why I was never mad at Artie. The next day I called him. I got his number through HBO. And he called me back. And I mean, I left a message. Called me back in 2 minutes. He's like, look, man, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm a comic. I got to laugh. You know, I went a little overboard. I don't ever want to get in the way, you know, of a man trying to earn a living. So I had him back on the second show. He did the cold open with me. And I threatened to quit the show because I had already set it up with Artie. And HBO, the executives, went to the ultimate guy at HBO. And he said, absolutely not. He's not coming back on. And I said, well, that's fine. But then I'm not doing the show. And the guy said, not only is he not coming back on, you're not allowed to even reference it. I said, I'm getting Artie Lang yelled at me walking into every stadium across the country. If you don't know me, but if you think that I'm going to walk out there and act like that didn't happen on that same stage 3 months ago.
That's good.
On the next
mind.
Show.
Yeah, that's a good
I said,
you got.
How do you not laugh at it and move on? I can laugh at myself. That's what people don't get.
So was he on the second show? Did you win that argument?
He said, well, we're going to talk it over and I'll call you back. And I'm laying. I was outside of my house. I laid down on the grass. And I was just laying there.
Poor Joe Buck.
And I'm like, please, God. And so he did. And he called back. He goes, okay, we're going to do it your way, but it better be done right. And it was, Artie was great. We met in Times Square. It was like he was walking one way. I was walking the other. I'm on my phone. I get bumped on the shoulder. And I turn around. He spins around. He's looking at me like Belushi, like, hey, remember me? Hey, like moving his shoulders. And I just turn and sprint going through Times Square. And he comes chasing after me. And he had lost weight at that time. And his pants were falling off of him. And that's how the thing started. And the crowd went nuts in the theater. And afterward, the guy's like, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah, good. That's you. Maybe you could do comedy. You got a good comedy mind.
Well, there you go.
I have a dream, Joe Buck. Mm-hmm. All right, Lollapalooza for announcers. Okay. And then we're going to wrap this up with you. I'm going to have you do a sports call where you get the curse.
Okay.
But you got to really make it rain in here. Like, I don't want you saying, like, dadgum and damn.
No, but then you got to bleep it out.
Why?
Because I'm not doing that. It's the same thing we just talked about.
Do you really think you're going to lose your job at Fox if you go, that ball is hit a fucking country mile?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
David Hill would fire you.
David Hill's not there anymore. He's at Nat Geo.
Let me finish. Okay. David Hill would fire you from the next Nat Geo show you did?
Yes.
You're on Naked and Afraid?
Yes. God, that would be.
You really won't do a swearing one?
No.
Now they're all going to light up my Twitter like, why couldn't he get Joe Buck the curse? You really think you would lose your Fox job?
First of all, who cares?
It's funny.
It is funny.
Joe Buck going, strike two. Don't know what the fuck he was thinking. That ball was right next to
him. Well, there you go. You got it.
Just do it. You don't need it. If you really can, I'm not going to push it.
No, I wouldn't do it.
Because you really would have.
Then I'll walk out here going, oh, God.
All right. I don't want that to happen. Lollapalooza of announcers. Let's say Vin Scully goes on first because he could be fatherly and help everybody.
Right.
Like, looking forward to.
Here's what we have today.
Well done, sir. Favorite Scully-ism? Yeah, I've.
Well, the funniest story is that I've heard players say he said things about me in the booth that I didn't even know about myself. And the story about Mark Lemke learning how to switch hit, about his he grew up a right-hand batter, but I guess there was to the left of his house. There was an insane asylum, and he hit the ball over the fence. He'd have to climb the fence and go in the yard of the insane asylum. So he learned how to hit left-handed, and that was a story.
Didn't want to climb the fence to the insane asylum,
right.
Friends, and it's a madhouse here tonight.
Right.
There's always that second sentence that makes it perfect.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So that Lemke, that's yours?
That's just crazy.
I was driving up Mulholland listening to a Dodger game, and he goes, 7 out of the 9 Astros starters, last name begin with the letter B.
And we've got quite a hive here tonight. Baco, Biggio, Bagwell, and he went through and he named all seven.
That's
and great. But the other one I really love is Billingsley threw 22 pitches in the first inning, and friends, he's up to his elbows in alligators here in the second. I was like, wow.
That's great. You could never do that now. You know, if somebody said that now, there's no personality in anybody anymore. You can't allow for it.
I think you're wrong. I think that's what the public really, really wants.
What public?
The people that listen to games.
No.
What public?
The public that's noisy?
No, I meant Publix, the store. Oh. That's what they want when you
Most
go there.
Of the managers at Publix around the United States
you don't think,
are clamoring for phrases certain. Like up to his elbows and alligators.
Joe Biden,
I said that, I'd be laughed off the air.
That's not true. I firmly believe in my heart of hearts that the American public, people that watch football, well, you can't really do it in football. It's too much going on. But in baseball, I firmly swear, I'm positive that America is, they want somebody like that so bad. And the thing is, they're tired of the staid, you know.
Yeah, but staid, that's what social media, those people always existed. But I have bosses, they have Twitter open while I'm doing a game.
You're not going to get fired for saying up to his elbows and alligators.
I'm not saying I'm going to get
Make up
fired
your own one.
Okay.
Just say, well, I hit that
Piranhas.
One a cock ton.
That I would get fired for.
Fernando Tatis, the batter. You know, I once blew him in a bathhouse at the Dolly Madison rest stop on the New Jersey Turnpike, strike one, and who could guess?
Oh, God. It's always the second part that makes it just perfect.
Uncircumcised, man. Right. Fernando Tatis, as is most of the Toronto.
Okay, so who else is on the...
I have you second to last.
Okay.
And I have John Miller closing.
John Miller.
Voice of the San Francisco Giants.
And then you get the bookend, because to me, John Miller, who does a great Vin Scully impersonation, actually really sounds like Vin Scully.
He's tremendous.
Yeah. He's very melodic.
Who am I missing?
Seif.
And the Spanish names, he rolls those out.
He loves that.
I love when Brian Regan's got that great bit about news anchors in the Midwest when they decide to get a Spanish accent. Meanwhile, more political unrest today in Nicaragua. You're like, how do you get in here? This guy just turned Spanish. And he said they don't do that in any other language. They don't go like, more protests in Beijing. But like John Miller nails Fernando Tatis the batter.
Yeah, no, I love, that's just a great baseball voice.
Who do you love to listen to? Announcers.
I love him. Their TV guys are great. Kuiper and Kruko are awesome.
Yeah, they are good.
The Mets TV is great, I think. Gary Cohn is awesome as a play-by-play guy.
But who's on your Lollapalooza? We need two slots.
You don't like Michaels? You know, like Nance?
But he's not like a baseball guy. He's like an everything guy. Al Michaels is...
Yeah. Well, he was. I mean, he was Reds, and then he was ABC Monday Night.
Al Michaels would come out to, like, do a chorus with somebody. Like, Vedder walks out and does a song with Arcade Fire, and he bounces.
Right.
That's what I think
exactly.
Al Michaels would be.
The Do You Believe in Miracles tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Buck on Twitter.
At Buck.
Just how great it's going to be if you just pick up like 50,000 followers.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm telling
you. You told me on my radio show that when you were doing the World Series in San Francisco, to see the field, you actually had to look around, people giving you the middle finger.
Yes, turning around in my face 20 feet from me.
Why? I don't understand.
Because they think I hate their team. Which
why
is
does
nuts.
Everyone think you hate God, their... How do you hate the Yankees and the Giants?
How do I hate every team? How's that possible?
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for
that. You said, I'm okay, Spider. That's what I asked you. I don't know. How do you hate every fucking team, Joe?
I don't know how that's possible, but I've managed to accomplish it. Somehow I hate the Royals because I was going on and on about Madison Bumgarner.
Let me tell you something. I'll call bullshit on that right now, because when I was reading Twitter during the World Series, people were going, Jesus Christ, Joe Buck, could you stop jacking off the Royals? You know, there's another team, like, because you were talking about Ned Yost and the nuttiness and the stealing
right.
bases. Well,
that's
that.
Everybody, you can't talk about one side or the other. No. I should just sit there and just not talk.
No, don't do that. Because you got golden pipes.
Hit. Ball. Out.
Will you do an at bat from, like, I'm the hitter, and just give me like a nice, you know.
Yeah.
I'm from Verona, New Jersey. Rutgers, I don't know, something.
Okay. Number 30. Oh, yeah. Number 37, Jay Moore digs in at the plate. It's been a nice night for Jay. Fourth at bat. Singled his first time up, doubled his second, tripled his third time up, which was shocking since he can't run at all. Official score gave him the triple as the two outfielders collided in right center field. Here he is in his fourth at bat, looking for the natural cycle, such a rarity these days in the game of baseball. He's from Verona, New Jersey. Played at Rutgers. At least that's what he's telling people until there's fact checkers to go through this kind of a thing. Here's the pitch. Swing and a foul off to the right. Boy, you just can't get around on this guy. Madison Bumgarner's mowing him down. Here's an 0-1 pitch on the way. Jay Moore, swing and a high fly ball into deep left field. This ball might go. It is gone. Home run. Jay Moore and the Verona Wildcats have won it all. Can't wait for the parade. I'm going to wear a panda hat.
The Verona Wildcats? You're the best. Joe Buck, my friends, the voice of Fox. This is great. And we actually did this very quickly, very easily. And I texted you. You told me you were coming to town. I know you're doing great. Tell everybody the benefit you're on tonight.
Boys and Girls Hope tonight.
That's the kind of guy you're hating on. A guy that's going to do, for free, mind you, I command an honorarium.
Well, if I talk more about Boys Hope, I think the people from Girls Hope are going to be upset that I'm giving
Boys
too
and
much
girls
attention.
Hope. No, yeah, I know. The little girls would be giving you middle fingers.
Right.
And where are sleeping bags
right,
and
exactly.
canned goods?
Right.
But that's the kind of guy you're hating on, a guy that's doing a free... most people get an honorarium, a little fee for their appearance.
I said, what's the honorarium for this? You're like, you can talk about anything you want.
Joe Buck.
I don't think they're very smart.
No, that's not true at all. Joe Buck doing it for free, flying across the country.
That's okay. That's what you have to do. That's good.
Yeah, but that's my job. I always ask, maybe I should start doing it.
Will you ask for money?
No, I do.
Like from a cancer dinner or something?
No, they usually offer, it's this much if you come in and you do it. And I'm always super confused, like, really?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Thank you. I'll take it.
And then what you do is this is the trick. If you ever, okay, I got one for you. And then we'll end on this.
All right.
Let's say somebody gives you $10,000 to host the Girls Club of Greater Boston.
Okay.
You go in there, they give you a $10,000 check, you scratch out a $1,000 check. Nobody in the audience knows it's only 10% of your whole check, and you go, you know, I'm so moved by everything I saw tonight, I just want to let you guys know I've donated $1,000 tonight right now. I would like to give my check to Vito Violante, the chairman, and please, if that can make more people here give their money, boom, you're invited back the next year.
Yes. No, you're right. And then you make them pay you 11 grand the next year.
Yes.
And you never lose a dime.
And you have Artie Lang open.
Right.
What's with all these boys and girls sleeping in sleeping bags? Why don't you do what I do? All right. Joe Buck, thank you, my friend. I know
all right, Jay. Vito, thank
my
you.
Friend, put thank your name you. On it.
A swing and a miss.
Bye.
2 Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline. It removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. Choose Shell V-Power today and let the excitement begin.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.